I like little rituals. I mean, lighting a candle, setting an intention when you light it, the flame, watching the flame, saying the intention over and over, blowing it out and watching the smoke take it out into the universe. That's a ritual. That's magic. That's spell casting. Cooking is spell work, right? Needlework is spell work. You are combining things to make something else, and you're doing it with intention.
Welcome to Settling is Bullshit, a sweary podcast about claiming your joy. If you are an adult human craving healthier boundaries, a greater sense of purpose, or an increased capacity to feel at ease in your own skin, then you are in the right place, my friend. I'm your host, Kate Blauk, and I'm here to offer you practical tools and playful encouragement to help you step forward and be your most awesome self. My hope is that each episode will leave you feeling a bit more empowered to make brave choices and claim your joy. Hello, my darling dear. I have a seasonally appropriate episode for you this week. I had the pleasure of interviewing Julie Miller, tarot reader and self-proclaimed witch. She's a fucking delight. And we had a beautiful, long, rambly conversation that I have judiciously edited down to an hour instead of the like 90 plus minutes that we were chit-chatting. And even if you are not listening to this anywhere near Halloween or Samhain or spooky season, it's still appropriate because what we're talking about is everyday witchcraft. What it means to bring magic into our lives on a daily basis. And it's all about intention, y'all. And for those of you witchy and woo-woo skeptics, I invite you to listen with an open ear, because honestly, it all comes down to intentionality and whispering our hopes and dreams into the universe. And I honestly don't think you have to believe in it for it to work. That's my take. That's my two cents. But as I've mentioned many times before on this podcast, I'm pretty woo-woo. And I do believe in all this shit. And it was really fun to have a conversation with someone who is further along the path of magic than I am. And so I hope that you get a little bit of magic out of this too, and maybe a little bit of permission to tap into that lovely bit of practical magic witchery that is in each and every one of us.
Who am I today? I'm a lot of things. And the cool thing is that as I evolve, I become more things. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that for me. You know, next week, maybe I'll be a French pastry chef. No, I won't. They like to measure. I don't like to measure. Just dump it in and mix it up.
So are you a cook?
No.
Oh.
No.
You're neither.
No. I mean, I can cook. Do I want to? No.
Okay.
No. So, you know, who am I? I mean, I am a lost soul bound.
Hmm.
And the reason I was lost is because when you deny who you are for so long, when you deny what you are, when you deny your soul's calling, and you try to fit yourself, you shave off. You know, I look at myself as a square peg, and I try to shave off those edges to fit into that round hole. And it just feels so icky. Yeah. So, you know, who am I? Who do I want to be? That's who I am.
Yeah. Okay. You're also an entrepreneur.
I am.
And a witch.
This is true. And a neighbor and a gardener and
a tarot reader
and, you know, a thrift shopper. And so there's a lot of things that I am. But I think the biggest thing that I am is just somebody who's really evolving.
Yeah. I really want to dive into what it means to be a witch.
Yeah.
When did you discover your witchiness?
Oh, years ago. Decades. I was a kid. I probably came out of the womb stirring a cauldron.
Okay, so what makes somebody a witch in the modern era? What is witchcraft?
Oh, I think that there's probably a lot of definitions. How I would define it, it is not what I do. It is who I am.
Okay. So being a witch isn't about cauldrons necessarily.
No, no.
All right.
No. It is more of a way that I connect to myself, tap into the universe. It is who I am. It is my way of life. It just is. I mean, I would think, so magic to me, and you don't have to do magic in order to be considered a witch.
Okay. So you don't have to do magic.
No. I find, you know, I can and do spellcraft, mm-hmm. but it's not what you think. What it's not what the movies portray.
It's not Eye of Newt, Toe of Frog.
No,
something wicked this way comes. It's not.
No,
okay.
It's just a very deep intention in how I approach things. Everything from the way I pick my coffee mug in the morning to the words that I whisper into that steaming cup of life, you know, to standing outside of my garden barefoot. You know, it is just, it's a way of life. It's, I approach things really intentionally to create a ripple out into the universe of good energy. Just like, how would somebody describe themselves as being, you know, a child prodigy? And I'm not a child prodigy. I'm not saying that, but you just are. You're born with certain things.
Okay. So I like, I'm so excited and fascinated about this because, you know, like I was for some time in the closet with my witchy shit interest, you know, but in recent years have been more overtly like, but I describe it as, you know, witchy shit, or I'm pretty woo. Like I like crystals, I pull tarot cards. So I'm really curious about this distinction between like what makes someone a witch, like am I a witch and didn't realize it? Is it about claiming ownership of witchiness? Like
surprise,
what?
Surprise ending plot twist. Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't. I could not tell you if I have a lineage of witches.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I do because there's been some signs, but like I don't know what like my familial heritage is, right? I come from a very small family. My father, he passed away when I was 11. I never met his family. Like his parents were died when he was like 13. You know, all I met one aunt from his siblings, you know, so I wasn't ever exposed to like the lore. Right.
Right. So this isn't a family thing that has been passed down through the generations.
No, in fact, my mother
told me. You don't have a grimoire.
No, my mother said when I was about three, I would talk to her about things. And she finally, like, I would say things like when I was here before.
Oh.
3 years old. When I was here before, she's like, what do you mean? When I was here before and these people were my parents. And what she recognized was that I was talking about reincarnation. Past lives. And then I started having, I guess, what you could call premonitions. And you know how you think of a song and it comes on the radio?
Yeah.
Only worse than that. Scary things. Scary, scary, scary things. There was a, I'll tell a really brief story. My father had already passed away. I was on a trip to Vancouver, BC with my mom and her best friend, and then one of my little girlfriends. I was maybe 12. And we were sitting in a diner restaurant right off the main highway. And I started shaking and crying. And I'm like, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. And my mom's like, what are you talking about? The food hasn't arrived. And I'm like, it's bad, it's bad. There's blood, it's bad. And she's like, what is wrong with you? There was a head-on collision right out in front of the diner. And she's like, she had to get me out of there. She had to rush me out of there. So it was things like that. And she would say things to me like, don't be weird.
Yeah.
So what do? You don't want to be weird when you're a teenager.
No, and especially not if you're getting the messaging at home to not be weird.
You lock that shit away real tight. Yeah, so... You know, I stopped like trying to develop anything. I had an interest in tarot. She did buy me some tarot cards, and she bought me a book about devil worshiping.
Oh, like an encourage, like how to devil worship? Or yeah, well, like...
I remember the cover of it. And there was something I was like, these two things, it doesn't feel like they go together. So this isn't for me. And I just threw it away. Right. But then the mixed message of, but don't tell anybody.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I think she was trying to appease her daughter who had lost her father, you know, a teenage girl who had lost her father. So it's like, here, shut up. Go away, kid. You know, yeah. Take these tarot cards and this devil worshiping book and run along. You know, what harm could it do? Well, it did a lot of harm in that I locked away everything. And then you fast forward, I'd got, you know, married, two children, divorced. And then I was dating a man, and he was incredible. And he was very spiritually, he had come from a very deep organized religion and had walked away from it. But he was very spiritually inclined. And he said, we were walking through a bookstore one day, and he said, I think you're a witch. And I was like, no, that's crazy.
So did he not? So had you been secretly reading tarot this whole time?
No,
it just all got locked in the
vault. This was 25 years ago.
OK.
And we went down the spiritual aisle, and literally a book fell at my feet.
Oh, my.
Yeah. The book just literally fell off the shelf. And it was a woman named Phyllis Carrot. She is an attorney turned advocate, turned high priestess, come to find out. She's amazing. And she became my first teacher. The book is called A Book of Shadows. And I was like, I found a home there. But I joined a coven, was awful. And then I said, no, you know, I think this introvert needs to just, if she's going to practice, she needs to be a solitary witch.
Okay.
I love community. I love community now, but I love the idea of a community, but I didn't like organized sports. I drop out of courses that you have to do a group project. I don't want to be in a coven.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So I practice on my own.
So what does that mean if it's not spellcraft? So
just a really intentional way of living. When I'm washing my dishes, it's with intention. These dishes have held food that have nourished me or nourished my family. If my grandkids come over, or I'm feeding my dogs or whatever, there's cooking is spell work, right? Needlework is spell work. You are combining things to make something else, and you're doing it with intention.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, is that kind of the core of
it? Is
witchery?
It is. And there's all sorts of witches. There's a kitchen witch, and there's a hedge witch, and there's a garden witch. And, you know, then there's the ones that really do big rituals. And I'm not that. That ain't me.
Right.
I like little rituals. I mean, lighting a candle, setting an intention when you light it, the flame, watching the flame, saying the intention over and over, blowing it out and watching the smoke take it out into the universe. That's a ritual. That's magic. That's spell casting.
Okay. I've got a big smile on my face.
I see that.
I'm super delighted by this. I guess I'm just curious, like, for you, what makes that, like, what's yummy and appealing about that being witchcraft as opposed to, say, just mindfulness or spirituality?
Mm-hmm. I think because, like I said, it's not something I do, it's who I am. And so I think that is just, there's a fine line. It's very nuanced. You know, you could call yourself a witch and be totally different than I am.
Right.
You know, and that's okay. I think that we each have our own definition. I'm not a real rule follower.
Even though I'm
a Virgo, I'm not a rule follower.
I never would have picked that up from our 20 minutes of conversation so far.
Just not a rule follower. And so I don't believe that it has to be any one way. I think that line from, you know, Practical Magic that every woman who thinks she's a witch or wants to be a witch has watched multiple times. There's a little witch in all of us, or there's a little magic in all of us. I think there's a little witch in all of us.
Yeah.
And it's so true, you know, and I think the difference is I live my life with the intention that I am a witch. And so I approach things from that lens, just like somebody who is Catholic would approach it from that lens. And I don't want to mix in religion into it, but that's the easiest way. You know, Catholics
for me, like, I am a sober person in recovery, right? That is that I can relate there, certainly, of that, like, that is a way of being
in the world that
involves abstaining from drugs and alcohol, like, you know, but also sort of showing up in service and being in gratitude. And there's kind of a lot to it. So being a witch, what I'm hearing is kind of an identity of being in the world and a way of seeing the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to circle back a little bit to sort of, you say, you know, there's a little magic in everyone, or there's a little witch in everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean to you?
It's available to all of us. It's available. It is truly available. And I think that because I have known this about myself, even though maybe I didn't deny it, I just pushed it away because I was told to push it away, right? There has always been this deep longing in me. I always felt like I never truly belonged anywhere. When I was in school, you know, high school, when I got married, any of that, I never felt this deep sense of groundedness, even though I'm a double Virgo, right? And that's where that Sagittarius came in, that I didn't discover for a really long time. I didn't know my moon and my rising. And it's that dichotomy of being very, very grounded and very much needing a place to be grounded, but also needing to be out there in the world, like needing to explore, needing to travel. I've always had this deep, deep, deep sense of wanderlust, but I've always will opt to stay home. It's really confusing, right?
Yeah.
But I think that had I tapped into that sooner, I mean, I tapped into it when it was time. But had I tapped into that sooner, I would have recognized that working within the craft of being a witch and knowing what that means to me, I'm earth first, right? I try to be very mindful of the earth that we live in. I try to be very mindful that the trees have power, that animals can be familiars, right? That they speak to us, that they're not lesser than we are. I believe there's messages being sent to me all the time. Some of them are mine. Some of them, I don't want that.
100%. So, yeah, I mean, I'm listening and I'm like, I relate to a lot of this.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by magic?
Yeah. I mean, magic is a belief that has intention and then action behind it, right?
Okay.
So there's magic in everything. Plant a seed, watch it grow. That's magic.
Dude, seriously. I was not a garden person until I moved to Portland.
So you planted something.
Yeah, there's flowers everywhere around
here.
Yeah, like,
it's magical.
I could grow those. So I planted dahlias for the first time this year. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I have a little house plant on my desk that I have not murdered.
Yeah.
That is thriving.
Yeah.
I even repotted it.
Oh my gosh.
Because it grew
like
because it grew. Well, because you're loving it and you're taking care of it, and that's magical. I have a friend who is newly pregnant, and I told her that she's like, I can't think about the hustle right now. She's a career woman. She's like, I just can't think about, I'm not in my hustle era. And I said, girl, you're building a human in your body.
It's just
your
a different
priority.
Kind of-
it's totally changed, you know? And so we think about, I think that being able to take an intention and give it what it needs, like birthing a business, magical. If you birth the business, you're a wit.
Oh, well, shit. Hey.
Right. You're welcome. Yeah. You're also a mother. You birthed something. You took it from seed to fruition. That's mothering, right? Huh. And there's tenderness and there's teaching and all of that. And so I just, the way I practice magic is through being very intentional about the things that I do. Putting that tea together, when Andrea asked me for a tea for
intensive. For listeners, I just got back from a really beautiful.
I forgot we were just having a conversation.
Yeah. So I just got back from a really beautiful coaching retreat. And sort of my coach is how I connected with Julie. And she made us some tea to drink over the course of the weekend.
Yeah. And putting that together, if you think that that was not infused with intention and magic, and you just thought it was tea, that's great. But I can tell you, whatever you did with it, that's for you. But I can tell you that every ingredient that I put in it, the bowl that it was in, the way I infused it, the words that I spoke over it, the music I had playing, the candles that were burning, the sigil that I drew on the bag that I gave to her. She didn't even ask me what the sigil was. It was the rune for prosperity, you know, and everything was infused with intention. Everything. I even told her how to serve it. Whether she did that or not, I don't know. But I said, you know, if you want to make a ritual out of this, because that's the other piece of what I do at these tiny rituals, built a business around it. And if you want to make a ritual out of it, here's how to serve it. You know, and it's just the things that I do are done with intention.
Yeah.
The mundane things that I do are done with intention. When I get in my car and I put my key into the ignition, that's the word. I'm like the steering wheel. Yeah. Okay. The ignition. I just say, keep me safe. Yeah. That's a spell. It's setting an intention.
Yeah. So I'm curious if you see, I mean, listening to you say that, right? I'm thinking like it is similar to saying a prayer. Uh-huh. And I'm wondering for those of us listeners, anyone who's religious, apologies for what I'm about to say in advance, right? That I don't, maybe that's a false distinction. I don't know. Like, so for me, I go through my day kind of like having a conversation with the universe because I don't believe in a particular deity. I like a lot of different ones.
Yeah.
I think they're all great.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm just wondering of like, what's the difference between a spell and a prayer in the way that you're describing it?
The word that you use.
Okay.
That's it. The word that you use.
Yeah.
You know, I could say, you know, like, okay, there's a second hurricane just hit, right?
Yeah.
Devastating. And I have friends that live in North Carolina. So Helene was, you know, I was texting him all weekend, right? Tell me you're okay. Tell me you're okay. What's happening? And I could say, I'll send you prayers. And it means the same thing to me that I'm sending an intentional spell to him that he's safe, that the bubble around him is safe. You know, so it's the same. I intertwine those words. I have no problem intertwining those words. But just like I wouldn't say I'm, you know, if I was a practicing Christian, it's the same way when I say, well, I'm a practicing witch. I just come at it from a different viewpoint. I think it's one and the same. I think Wicca of the earth, I don't necessarily identify as Wiccan. I just identify as a witch. I'm a witch.
Yeah.
Just like I'm a female. Just like I'm a Virgo. Just like I'm a mom. It's just on the resume of, you know, just like I'm Irish, you know,
right.
It's just part of who I am. And I think that I don't know that I could trace it back. I would love to. I don't know that I need to.
Right. Well, and I mean, it sounds like what I'm hearing is that it's not necessarily about a matrilineal lineage of witches. Uh-uh. Right.
No.
And I'm just sitting here. I'm curious. So I went, there's a really lovely spiritual retreat center called Trout Lake Abbey that is a Buddhist center and a Druid sanctuary.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to a lovely kind of yoga and art retreat out there last May. And I think that was when I discovered I'm a druid, which I don't totally know what that means. But they kind of honor the earth and worship a variety of deities.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm into this.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think,
and then I'm sitting with like, am I a witch? I don't know. Like I'm
trying
on
the
metaphorical hat. Well, but I don't know if that's the hat I want to wear.
Then you don't have to. Right. I mean, you know, I don't want to wear the hat of coach.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I infuse that in like my tarot readings. It comes in real helpful when somebody's near a breakdown. Hey, let's talk through these cards. Let's talk through the message, you know? And I use it in all my work and I still coach. But I recognize I thought I was. I did everything I was supposed to do. And then I got into it. What I realized was, yes, I am supposed to be a coach, but I'm not supposed to do it in this container of creating a coaching business. I'll let others do that.
Yeah.
It didn't bring me fulfillment. It brought me money. It didn't bring me fulfillment.
Yeah. I similarly recently just realized, like, I am a teacher. And I want to teach people things and then coach them around the sort of tools and concepts and things that I have provided.
Love that.
Right.
Love that.
But the traditional model of coaching where they just sort of show up and like, what's your topic? And like, that doesn't work for me because I have so like, if I'm anything, I'm a book witch. Like I've read so many books and I like book recommendations are my superpower. I'm really good at like consolidating information and explaining it in ways that are comprehensible and easy to understand. Like I'm doing this podcast because I just like want to bring together interesting elements. Mm-hmm. And like share information.
And if you think that's not spellcasting.
Oh, no, it is.
You're wrong. Yeah, it is.
I'm super, you have convinced me. Like I am on board with,
I mean, accountants are spreadsheet witches, right?
Yeah.
You can use it to whatever degree you want to use it. Call it what you want.
Hello, my dear. I'm interrupting to invite you to participate in a very special giveaway associated with this episode. I am going to give away a very nice tarot deck to one lucky listener. And all you have to do is visit settlingisbullshit.com and subscribe to the newsletter. And then send me a screenshot of the review or rating that you finally have left for this podcast. You can email me at Kate, C-A-T-E, at settlingisbullshit.com. And I'll be taking entries through October 31st. And then I will draw a lucky winner on November 1st. For more details, follow Settling Is Bullshit on Instagram. And you can also find details there on how to get a bonus entry. To those of you who are already email subscribers, thank you. I love you. You're amazing. All you have to do is send me a screenshot that you left a review for this podcast. And then you'll get entered and it'll be great. And I'm also going to send sticker packs to a lucky few runners up So please do participate, leave a review, help me grow the podcast. Make sure you're getting updates to your inbox anytime we have a new episode. And know that I adore you and you're magical. And now back to this beautiful, magical conversation. Yeah. Well, I mean, I use the word magical a lot. So I think that's, I mean, it's what's interesting to me. And I think what is part of what inspired me to want to have someone who self-identifies as a witch on the podcast to talk about it is because I have long had these interests and this sort of pull or calling towards these things, right? But until I moved to Portland, Oregon, like culturally, it's weird. And so there is a lot of like deconditioning, right?
A lot. And you look at the socioeconomic environment that we live in and the political environment that we live in. They're hunting us. They're hunting us. They're hunting women. And mostly women. They're also hunting men. You know, our queer community is not safe. Our Black community is not safe. Our Indigenous community, not safe. You know, I mean, it's a witch hunt all over again.
Yeah.
It really is. And so it's a scary time to say, I identify as a witch. You know, they're just hunting us in different ways.
Yeah. So 25 years ago, a book jumped out at you. Mm-hmm. How did we get to today where you're like, yeah, I'm talking on a podcast about being a witch?
A lot of coaching.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, I think it's one of those things where after a while, what good does it do to deny it?
Yeah.
What good does it do to hold it in when maybe what you have is something you could offer? And I was sitting with friends and one friend said, what are you so afraid of? And I'm like, what if I'm rejected? What if that belonging doesn't happen again? You know, I found this tiny little space, this group of women on this retreat that I fit in with. They sit next to me and say, tell me this, read cards for me, you know, and I felt safe there. I didn't have to sand down my square 90 degree edges to fit into a hole. I just was. And this one friend said, what are you so afraid of? And I said, what if I'm rejected? And she said, then they're not your people. And it's so true.
It's so true. It's so hard true. To live.
It is.
It is hard to get to that place.
It is.
Like, yeah.
So I just said, fuck it.
So what was your like coming out as a witch?
Yeah.
Moment?
So it was actually bringing tarot to the masses. It was tarot is a tool that I use, right? It's like, you know, you podcast or you teach or whatever. That's a tool, right? You probably have a gift for teaching.
I do.
I have a gift for receiving the messages.
Yeah.
And then giving you the messages in a way that you go, oh, shit, she sees me. No, I don't. I mean, I get those, you know, I have my little tarot community that's growing and God, I love it. It's just like, it keeps me sane. I do caffeinated tarot every week and we can talk about that. But I do that on Sunday morning. So it's like, you know, my Christian neighbor's going off to the Lutheran church or whatever, right? That's my sanctuary, is sitting with those cards and being like, okay, be kind to us this week because you gave us all swords last week and my people are not happy. And then, you know.
last week was some bullshit.
Let's throw down the death card, maybe the tower.
Yeah, we're recording at the beginning of October. We're on October 10th. So last week was the fucking eclipse portal. Yeah. If you're following astrology, right?
Yeah. And the cards were following astrology because the cards were like, burn it all down or I will burn it for you. So, you know, I started to come out, and it took a while for Caffeinated Tarot to come on board. But I started doing in a group chat that I had with these women that went on this retreat, I started doing, they wanted ritual from me. And so I started with Tiny Rituals. It's a subscription box, and sold out. I did a very limited run and I sold out, and I just completed the first year of that. They were sent on the solstices and the equinoxes. So very intentional. And the tools were very intentional and all of that. And so I'm getting ready to launch year two.
Woohoo. And, yeah, I can't wait to buy one.
Well, thank you. I'm super excited about what this year is going to look like. So, yeah, so I started there. And then people were, I was sending in this group chat that we have. There's like 13, 14, 15 of us in it. And I was sending new moon, full moon, like, this is the sign that it's in. These are the colors or the candles. This is, you know, maybe a tiny ritual that you could do to celebrate or honor, you know, do as much or as little. I don't believe that there has to be rules around stuff like that. And then I started sending a friend. I got her direct permission. I said, I need to be able to just send you readings whenever I feel like it. I don't want to reach out and go, hey, can I pull a card for you? And she's like, yeah. So I started sending her readings and whenever I got pinged. And then I said, I'm going to do this thing and it's going to be called Caffeinated Tarot. And here's what it looks like. And she's like, sign me up right now. And so, you know, I record them on Sundays. They get delivered every Monday morning. And they have, I think the first one went out back in March of this year.
Okay.
And it is such a fulfillment for me. And I do it. Here's the rub. Caffeinated Tarot is free.
Right.
You know, you get this weekly 3-card recorded reading. You get journal prompts. You get a ritual. And you get me all up in your head on Monday morning. Uh-huh. Sorry about that. But this ties back to not having any kind of lineage history. I don't know. On February 17th, 2023, my granddaughter was born. And she lives in Copenhagen. So she's a world away. And the minute she was born, something, I can't even describe it, but something visceral happened. It was like, and now I know my purpose.
Mm.
And now I know the purpose of this. And so everything that I do that's related to the craft, spell work, intentional living, my card pulls, the spells that I make, you know, the tea that I blended, that's a spell, right? That is all hers.
Mm.
And when I tell you, I have two grandsons and I worship the ground that they walk on and I'm very close to them. But it was like, oh, now I see why all of this came online when it did.
Yeah.
And so I'm basically creating a diary for her.
Yeah.
And she's magical. She's magical. And I just feel this pull to her that there's no way to describe it. So everything that I do, Caffeinated Tarot, Tiny Ritual, all of that, this is my legacy to leave to her.
Yeah.
And what I've told people is, even if everyone fell off the email list, even if a single ritual subscription did not sell, I would still do the work and write the work in order to give it to her. I practice these tools. Every tool in these ritual boxes I use.
Yeah.
You know, and having a purpose for the work makes the work more important.
Yeah. Oh, that was beautiful. And thinking about this podcast for me and how it started, you know, it really is a spell. It really is like, I'm not getting paid to do this podcast.
Yep.
Like, I'm not, you know, sure. Yes, everyone, I'm a coach and would love to work with you, but I'm doing this whether anybody listens. Because you know what? I go back and listen to these and get some fucking gems out of them. Like the little pep, like the solo episodes. Oh man.
Yeah.
Like past me was on point.
Oh yeah. Like, I go back and listen to Caffeinated Tarot and go, oh, right.
Yeah. Right. Because often, like, you know, just thinking about like we can't see the forest for the trees. Like when we're in it, it is different from when we're like a couple months down the road and we're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's what was good. Like, that's what was there. But I love having these fucking conversations and just getting the opportunity to share the beautiful sort of like wisdom and perspective of people who are trying to show up more authentically and more fulfilled and more joyfully in the world in all sorts of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? And I don't need to have these conversations with people to feel the alignment and the joy and the truth behind what I am. But it's nice to have conversations with people because since I have announced to the world, since I have done that, the amount of women that have said, you know, I've always wanted to work with candles, or I've always wanted to get into crystals, but I didn't know what they're for. It's so overwhelming, or, you know, anything like that. Or I have a friend who's an artist and I'm like, she's raised Catholic. And the first time I used the word coven with her, she was like,
making the sign of the cross.
Yeah, I mean, and she's not a practicing Catholic. But it was so ingrained in her. And now all she talks about is like infusing her art with magic. Yeah. And, you know, it's just like, if I give somebody permission to be who and what they truly are, because they see me doing it going, well, fuck it. If you don't like it, there's the door. I don't need you. I don't need anything from any of this. I could go on doing my work on my own and be just as fulfilled.
Yeah.
Just as fulfilled. And I think because it had to percolate for so long, it had to sit in the shadows, so to speak, for so long. You talk about a shadow side. Whew. It had to sit there for so long that now that the door is open, I can't put it back in. The genie's out of the bottle.
Dude, Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking about that fucking scene in Practical Magic because, of course, I've seen it a bunch of times.
A bunch of times, yeah.
Like, you know, where she's like, I don't want to fall in love, so I'm going to, like, make this spell.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I've wanted to be a writer since I was a kid. And I remember distinctly being little and just, like, having this vision of, like, the life that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then that got buried. Because I got pushed towards getting a fucking degree in computer science because being a writer is impractical.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And now I'm like 41, almost 42, and like finally making that shit happen.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what age. I think if you had gone to the grave, though, not fulfilling this desire inside you, it would have killed you a lot sooner.
But
not practicing made me so unhappy.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it.
Getting paid by other people to write about shit that I didn't care about. I was a writer. I was a professional writer.
Yeah.
I made a living writing shit.
Yeah.
That I had zero fucks to give about. And it was like draining my soul.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, I committed to like just starting to write because I wanted to. And that's how Settling is Bullshit started. And then I turned it into a podcast in April.
I love that.
And like, I'm so in love with it. And it's so fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And I think that is when the true magic happens, is when you don't have to tie an outcome to it.
Yeah.
You just say, I'm putting it out there and I'm putting my best intention and my truest heart behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes out of it is meant to be.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, number one rating on Spotify podcasts for alternative thinkers or whatever, you know, whatever,
right.
spirituality or whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, I have 5,000 people getting caffeinated tarot each week.
Right.
Whether it happens or not, that wasn't the intention. The intention was to put it out there, to fulfill something in me that needed to be born, just like the podcast for you needed to come out. Writing for your soul needed to come out, not writing for, you know, Mr. Bob over here, he'll pay you 3 cents a word to write about widget.
Yeah. Oh, cybersecurity. I never want to talk about cybersecurity ever again. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
But don't click on an unsuspecting link.
Well, yes. Check the email address from the thing that you have been sent.
Yep.
100% do that.
Yep. Don't just give a password and try to log in over your cell phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that once you... The book, The Great Work of Your Life by Stephen Cope. There's a part in there where Cope talks about, you know, if this is your dharma, he's talking about dharma, and we all have it. But it's like, if you don't bring it to life, if you don't, it will kill you. It will destroy you.
Yeah, and it was killing me.
Yes, I was miserable until I started just doing little things that were very intentional and infusing them with the hope that magic would happen.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking about, you know, so I've been in recovery a really long time. I've worked with sponsees and I've been coaching for a while now and work with clients, but this really emerged from my work with sponsees in, there's like this tendency to sort of catastrophize the future.
Yes.
You know, which is totally human, totally normal. And, you know, my sponsor gave me this gift of just like, if we're going to make up the fucking future, we might as well make up good stories. And so like, right? Because it's all imaginary.
Yeah.
You know, unicorns and aliens are just as likely as getting fired. Like,
it's
all imaginary.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about like how much nicer it is to live life from this place of like magic and hope and intention and believing and acting as if. I do believe in self-fulfilling prophecies, you know, and there's a lot of work that goes into getting to a place where I do actually believe in possibility and believe in hope. But, you know, whether any of this is real or not, that's for the listeners. Like, it's real. But
yeah,
like,
right.
any skeptics listening, like, whether or not it's real, like, I feel better showing up as if it is.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's, I don't know.
Manifestation.
What's gonna
happen. That's manifestation, right? You're really, manifestation is demonstration. So if you believe that, if you want to live a certain way, that you're going to manifest that through your demonstration of that.
Yeah.
Right. And hope and opportunity and possibility and belief that there's good, that we can craft our own future. We have to have it.
Yeah.
Because if I opened up any news website today, I'd be like, we're done. I give up.
Yeah. We're all going to die. It's all exploding.
I'm just going to eat bread morning, noon, and night. It's just not going to matter anymore. I'm going to drink my weight in coffee and eat bread all day.
What kind of bread?
Any kind. I mean, I'm not picky.
Oh, God, I love sour bread. Carb. So
toast is like a full food
group.
Yeah,
like anytime I get sick, buttered sourdough
toast.
Like,
buttered toast and tea. Call me good. Yeah. So I think that, you know, we can create, and I think we need to stop listing to what others wish they had done or tried to do or didn't do. And they shoved that story down our throat. I wanted to be a writer when I was in love with my mother's typewriter, like an actual typewriter. And I would write stories and I really wanted to be a writer. And my mother would be like, this isn't good. Mm. Well, you hear that so many times from this person that should, in fact, be saying, it's amazing. Where are you going to take the story next? You know, I think that we got to stop listening to that shit.
Yeah.
Just stop listening to it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You want a different life? Craft it. You want to do something? Craft it. You want to find joy? Be that thing that you are desiring to be, unless, of course, it's, you know, a murderer. Don't be that. Don't be that thing.
Don't be a murderer.
Yeah.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. Let's start there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, although I think for some people that's really hard.
Yeah, but not listeners to this podcast.
Yeah, they don't listen. No.
The assholes don't.
The only good people. No, they actually would be repelled.
Yeah.
You're going to make me take a hard look at myself? Absolutely not.
Right. Fuck that. Also, there's swearing in the title, so it's unprofessional. And like, this is the conversation I just had with one of my coaches yesterday, was like this like internal struggle with like, how can I be playful and professional?
Yeah.
I can't be both, blah, blah, blah. And coaching is great because I'm on the other side of that conversation being like, fuck that noise. I can be both.
Yeah.
It's possible. You can. Super have my shit together and like know what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's crazy. Right.
And that's, I like cursing.
People, thank you. People like to put the restrictions that they've made for themselves or that they feel they're living under, they like to project that onto us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I like being joyful.
I do. Actually.
I can't say that I'm happy all the time, but what I can tell you is that in those moments when there's joy, I feel it. And I just go, this was good. This was good. And I have enough hope to know that if it's been 3 or 4 days where I'm, you know, stressed or overwhelmed or haven't had enough water or moved my body or whatever, haven't slept enough, whatever, I know joy's coming. How about if I make a moment of joy? And that's when I go stand outside and I look at the seeds that I planted and, you know, that's when I think about these beautiful grandchildren that I have and how much fun I have with them and, you know, the safe space that I get to be for them. You know, I've never told my kids, you can't do that. Well, now, you know, drinking and driving, you can't do that. You know, you know, when they would say to me when my kids were little and they would say things like, you know, I want to be rich so I can build you a house. And I'd be like, yeah, you do. You go do that thing. Absolutely. Sure. You know, when my oldest son wanted to join the military, it was right after 9/11. And so that was kind of a hard pill. But then I said, then go do that thing. And I'll be here for you. Yeah. And I'm proud of you. And, you know, my grandkids, you know, my oldest grandson is really into science and math, like genius level stuff, you know, knows planets and stars and all of this stuff. And I'm like, what do you want to do when you grow up? He goes, I want to make a lot of money and work at NASA. And I'm like, sweet, let's do that. I don't know if you're going to make a lot of money working at NASA, but hey, you're going to work at NASA. You know, but I talk to people like in coaching and they're, you know, they're so miserable because they followed the path that was told to them.
Right. And let the sort of conditioning and the ancestral scripts, like, let's be real. My parents inherited the stories from their parents and like
fear and scarcity. Yeah. Yeah. You'll never be this. You'll, you know, writing doesn't pay. You know, I think I wanted to be an attorney for a while. And my mom's like, people like us don't go to law school. Well, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. People like us. What is that supposed to mean? I didn't get that. Now, I will say, you know, my mom's a really hard worker. And she, when she retired, she always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. When she retired, she started a whole nother business. And so thankfully, right? So I saw that. That's great. But why would you tell your child you can't do that? We're people like us.
Because somebody told her that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, she was born during the Depression.
Yeah.
So, you know, she carries a lot of that. It was get a job that will always keep the lights on, always pay the bills. And I was always searching for something.
Yeah.
But super terrified to go find it. And now I'm like, oh, I'll go find it. Will I be living half the year in Copenhagen in the next 4.5 years? Yes, I will be. How am I going to do that? Do not know. Does the Danish government want you? Probably not.
is that what you whisper into your coffee every morning?
Yep, we're moving to Copenhagen and I'll take you with me. You know, I believe in that. I believe we can manifest what we want.
Yeah.
You know, and we do it through a myriad of ways. It doesn't have to be through witchcraft. It can be through prayer. It can be through journaling. It can be through meditation. It can be through, you know, hitting the tennis ball at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 days a week for 3 hours. You know, if you want to be a pro tennis player, we can be whatever we want to be if we demonstrate that that's what we want to be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a tarot reader if I don't pick up the cards.
And speaking of which, ooh, yeah.
I brought my, do a little, I'll do a 2-card tarot.
Okay.
Right. So we're kind of where we are and the energy behind it.
It's October 10th. This is probably going to come out in like 2 weeks.
Okay, cool. So we will.
End of October, Halloweenish. Whoop.
Samhain, when the veil has dropped. Yes. Yeah. All right. Oh, so we got the Ace of Swords. And Swords, as we know, is air. And it's all about our communication and our thoughts and beliefs and the way we vocalize things. It's our words. So how beautiful is that? And Aces are the new beginning. And what this is saying is that we're always connected. There's always, you know, maybe a new way of thinking, a new thought. We're starting out on something new, but we're so deeply tapped in that everything is available to us. You talk about a possibility card. Any ace is a possibility card. Mm. So what does that mean for us? Well, let's find out. Ooh, the Eight of Swords. Now, I know this is like, the people go, she's bound and, you know, she's surrounded by swords and she's got a blindfold over her face. She is probably, aside from the High Priestess, this figure, this feminine energy is probably the most connected to her intuition because she cannot see. Oh. And so there's this, she's stepping 1 foot into water, which is water is intuition, is represented in our emotions and feelings, and it is intuition, and swords are very aligned with our intuition. So an eight, eights are strength, the strength number. We're in an 8 year, 2024 is an 8 year. So,
okay.
Whew, it takes a lot of strength just to get to a day, through a day sometime. But so her strength is in her intuition. Her strength is recognizing I'm not truly bound. I can still take a step.
Yeah.
I don't have to see it. I have to know it.
Ooh, I don't have to see it. I have to know it.
Yep.
Talk about juicy.
Yeah. So that's a little 2-card tarot.
Great. Well, Julie, this has been a delight.
A delight. I can't believe. Well, we've been doing this hour and a half, just riffing. I love it. Yeah. See, that's how I know that's my people. When I don't feel weighed down, when I don't feel like, okay, I need to go, you know, lay down on the couch and take a nap after that interaction. When instead I'm like, ooh, kindred spirit, community.
Absolutely. So Julie, how do people find you?
Well, I'm on Instagram. salt_and_crow, or my website saltandcrow.com, and you can sign up for caffeinated tarot there. Also I do new moon live readings every month on the new moon. So it's a community that comes in Zoom call. If it's a smaller community, then there's lots of interaction. I have people ask questions of the cards and all of that. And so that's all on there. You can book one-on-one reading with me. So saltandcrow.com, my website, is probably the best place to find me.
Yeah, and that'll be in the show notes. And I know that part of the answer to this question is your grandchildren.
Yeah.
But I always love to ask my interviewees, what brings you joy?
I think, and this is kind of an interesting answer, but I think it's understanding that I have radical and rebellious agency over my life. I can make choices. I choose. I have that agency. And that brings me joy, knowing that, you know, I sat at this desk all day because I chose to. I chose to be here. I don't feel like I'm forced to do anything anymore. And that there's a wisdom that comes with age, and it's taken me a long time to get here. But I think that what brings me most joy is just knowing I have choice and I enact it. I take full advantage of it.
Fuck yeah. I'm going to adopt that as one of the many things that brings me joy.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, coffee brings me joy. Absolutely. Being in my garden brings me joy. Absolutely. A good night's sleep. Absolutely. But I get to choose all those things.
Yeah.
That brings me joy.
Brings me joy hearing you talk about it. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. This was a
gorgeous,
true delight. I loved it. Love this conversation.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please help me grow the podcast by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it with anyone you think would benefit from hearing it too. Your support means the world to me. If you'd like to get updates about new episodes, posts, and offerings, please visit settlingisbullshit.com to subscribe to my newsletter. You can also find information there about working with me one-on-one to build your most amazing life. Until next time, remember that I believe in you and that you are fucking awesome.